sunshine. Wednesday's high 81. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another week here of sports talk here on the Miller's Edge. Got a lot of things we're going to be throwing at you. Another, week of dog days of summer if you're a big football fan like we all here are. But if you're an Alabama fan in general, plenty of things going on that we will discuss. Big weekend for the Crimson Tide. When you talk about baseball, you talk about softball. We got our own softball expert here on the show, Chase Brumfield. At CB3864. Did I get that right, Chase?
3864. Two for two, Christian. Let's go.
Let's go. 3864. At Chase Brumfield. Okay, I just messed it up. CB3864. Chase Brumfield's Twitter. We got Chase behind the glass, but he's also going to give us a breakdown of what's gone on in the softball world side of things. Again, College World Series going on in OKC. Shout out to Coach Murph and his squad. Doing some big things this weekend, Chase. They got a big matchup today against Texas Tech, and I want to say they're one win away from the finals. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's exciting, man. Exciting stuff. So we'll definitely talk about that a little bit. Baseball, right? They've accomplished some big things this weekend as well. Ended up winning their regionals, which got a clip from Rob Vaughn that we'll listen to. Had an exciting game against Oklahoma State yesterday. While the game itself was very exciting, little underwhelming turnout at the Joe, and we'll get to that part in a minute. I think Rob Vaughn definitely had some thoughts on that, wanted to challenge some folks to show up a little bit more for this baseball team that's doing some good stuff. Again, they ended up winning their regional. They hosted here in Tuscaloosa, but maybe people are out of town, Chase. Maybe people are busy doing some other stuff. Not the biggest turnout, but at the end of the day, the results are what matters most, and they ended up getting those results. Big time win in extra innings last night over Oklahoma State, 9-7. Ended up having a big time home run. Roger Hoover was on the radio call, and Chase, I don't know if you got to hear him, but you talk about, I mean, quite the call, man. I mean, to me, I think, you know, with broadcasting, something I do a little bit here and there. I mean, those moments really, you know, it can make or break the moment, right? The person behind the call, how they do it, the energy, the way they tell the story. And I just want to give a shout out to Roger Hoover, man. I didn't listen to it live, but I saw that the Crimson Tide Sports Network had posted Roger's call for that walk-off home run last night, or the big home run that they had to give them the lead. And just give this a listen, man. Listen to Roger Hoover do his thing after the Tide ended up having the go-ahead home run in the 11th inning over Oklahoma State, ultimately winning their regionals.
1-2. Swung on and driven. High, deep right field. Brady Neal has got it. A three-run homer to the Rangers. 9-6 in the top of the 11th, Alabama. Who else but Brady Neal? What a mob scene getting back in that dugout. What a scene in right field. 9-6 Alabama leads.
What about that call, Chase? What do you think about that? Shout out to Roger Hoover. That's a pretty good call, wasn't it?
Christian, I'm telling you, iconic voices like that, like Mike Breen from the NBA, NFL, there's so many others, but to hear that and hear it live too, chef's kiss for real.
Yeah, he did his thing, man. Shout out to my guy, Roger Hoover. Do a lot of work with Roger over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Roger covers all sports, including baseball, as you guys just heard. And what a call, man. You know, Chris Stewart always has, like, you know, those memorable calls. And looks like Roger, man, Roger's not far behind him, at least in the baseball side of things. Who knows? Maybe Roger ended up doing some, you know, more football things in the future. But really good stuff, man. I enjoyed hearing that. Shout out to our guy, Roger. But again, like I mentioned, Alabama baseball, in fact, won their regional, capped it off with that big win over Oklahoma State. That's where you just heard that call from Roger. Extra inning games, really good game. And it unfortunately just didn't have quite the turnout that they maybe would have expected. Again, it's Alabama baseball, Chase. We all know. I mean, they've had their moments, but in all reality, you get the point. They haven't necessarily been, the most successful sport. I mean, you look at Alabama sports and you talk about whether it's football, of course, Nate Oates with the basketball team, men's golf has always done some really big things. Pretty sure gymnastics has always been good. Softball been really good. Baseball, man, they're playing a little bit of catch up here, right? But right now they're doing some big stuff. As a matter of fact, not only did they win their regionals, but they are set to host their first super regional since, I want to say, 2006, man. Now, granted, it did take those extra innings, and it definitely was a scrappy fight last night to earn that. But one thing that was a little disappointing out of this whole weekend, I guess, was the turnout. And I don't know if you saw this, Chase, but Rob Vaughn had mentioned that. Of course, he spoke very, you know, positive about the whole weekend itself in terms of their success. But I think he was a little disappointed with how things turned out. And I can understand, right? I didn't attend the game, to be honest with you, so I didn't see it in person. However, so I guess he's talking to me. I'm one of those people, too. I probably should try to be there to support those guys. But I will mention this, though. I did see a clip, and I'll share this real quick. This is from Hunter Brantley's Twitter. Maybe the scene, I think he said right before first pitch, something like that, 10 minutes before. Let me turn that audio off. Sorry, I was trying to pause it. If you look at the stands, that is pretty empty, Chase. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, if it was like a regular season game, if I'm just being honest, it's pretty, you know, expected. I mean, I've attended a number of baseball games. You know, I like watching baseball. I feel like that's a pretty, you know, normal turnout for a regular game. But for it being the regionals, you know, finals game, man, I guess you probably would have expected or at least hoped for a little bit more. I will say the right field looked like it was doing pretty well. Let me go back and pause that real quick. I feel like the right field had a lot of folks over there. Right? Wouldn't you agree, Chase? I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good turnout for the right field. No? I mean, on a Sunday evening? What do you think?
I think so. When you kind of have the summer coming in, Christian, I don't know. I have a lot of questions why it looks like a JV game. I give credit to Norris. He just said that, but that's bad.
That's the junior
part of
the game.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, wait, Norris, come on, man. Don't join on him, man. Don't listen. Listen, I mean, to be fair, I mean, like I said, I mean, I feel like that's kind of normal for most of their turnouts. I think the disappointment came from, I mean, this is their regional finals, and that game against Oklahoma State was going to determine whether or not they were going to advance, host a super regional. I mean, there was a lot on the line. So I could understand, Coach Rob Vaughn sharing a little bit of, I don't even know if I'd call it frustration. I didn't hear exactly what he said. I just saw, or at least read the quote in terms of kind of what he was saying, just kind of urging more people to go out there and support them. And as a matter of fact, here's the clip of him saying this. So let's listen to what Rob Vaughn had to say. We're kind of working backwards here. We probably should listen to him actually break down the game and offer his thoughts first. We'll get to that in a second, but since we're talking about this is what Rob Vaughn had to say in terms of the turnout that they had in the finals for their regional this weekend.
That's good. And I think that's the thing, man. The crowds have been good the last 2 days, especially through the rain delay, you know, and obviously you got softball on TV. And I'm going to say this, people may get mad at me, but we need more. We need more. Like, I look out there and it's 7-2 and we got people gone and the stands aren't full. Like, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we need 7,000 people here rocking. And I think these guys have deserved that. And not 7,000 people in the stands being entertained, 7,000 people helping, scratching, clawing, and fighting for every pitch for 9 innings. And I think this town loves a winner, man. We got a group of winners here. So we need them to show up for these boys tomorrow and make this place hell for when we'll play tomorrow night.
Okay, so actually I think that might have came from the day prior, if I'm not mistaken, now that I'm listening to it. But to be fair, I mean, we probably could, you know, help them out a little bit, right? There could be a little bit more, I guess, support in the crowd, which I think the clip that we, maybe we're all over the place. The clip that I did show you, this was, let's see. Yeah, no. So the clip that we watched was, in fact, the turnout. The clip that we just listened to from Ron Vaughn, that was him encouraging folks to show up for last night's final. So we kind of worked backwards there. I apologize. So that clip we just listened to, that was him encouraging people. So if you thought that looked empty from what we just showed you guys on the stream, again, I keep forgetting. Yes, we're live on radio. You guys can't see what I'm showing here. We showed a clip of the stands from last night's game. So, Chase, I hate to say it, but now that we work backwards, and I just realized this was the turnout after he challenged people to show up. Does that change your perspective even more after seeing that and hearing that?
Crickets. That's kind of, I don't know how to explain that. As I said, I have a lot of questions. Like, I wish we could interview some of the fans that were there, you know, to kind of be like, what was the vibe, you know, because they have a lot of like Facebook groups and they're in these little small circles. So they know each other. So I'm kind of curious why there wasn't a big turnout, because they expect Coach Vaughn, you know, Justin LeBron to the right of him and so many others to be at their best, but if they don't have a fan base to support that and feel the love that they do, you're kind of working a lot harder to even get some recognition. You know, this is a regional. You know, it's not like this is like in the middle of the season. You know, they've worked so hard to get to this point, Christian, and like you said, the region is super regional, which is hard in baseball. Like, they're like the number one team, UCLA, lost. They're not hosting their own regional. Other teams that are like, I would say, neck and neck with Alabama right now didn't make it to Super Regional, and you have Alabama, regardless of the team that they were hosting, they did their thing. So, you know, it is kind of disappointing, but thank you for clarifying it, because that's kind of scary to see that outing.
Well, let me ask you this. Here's a follow-up for you, Chase. I know Norris is back there. If he wants to chime in a little bit, you can swing on the mic. My question is it an issue with the sport or the team, or more so, right? I mean, obviously, it could be a little bit of both, but this is what I mean by that. Because we all know, if you tell somebody, hey, I watch baseball, more so if you're referring to, like, watching on TV, more times than not, people are going to be like, oh, I hate watching baseball, at least from my experience. I guess it depends on how you grew up, I mean, what your family was into, friends, all that good stuff. But for me, you know, I'm around a whole bunch of football people, which I think probably 90% of the population, I'm exaggerating here, but you know, I would say as a football fan, football is the most dominant sport here in the United States of America. Baseball is a very big sport, international sport. We know it's worldwide. It's popular, but a lot of people just complain about watching baseball. I've always said I'm one of these people. I actually enjoy going to baseball games, watching baseball on TV, especially like postseason can be more entertaining, but I can understand why people just find it a little boring, right? I mean, between baseball and golf, I feel like those are two of the most popular sports to be named the most boring sports, right? Do we think it's because people just don't have a super high interest in the sport of baseball? Or is it more so that this team has not generated enough buzz just yet, Chase, Norris, for, you know, to see the fans respond accordingly and to really show up? Again, I mean, I know we're kind of joking about the stands here, and we're not making fun of them, to be clear. We're not making fun of the baseball team. We're just saying, like, dang, man, I could understand some of the frustrations by seeing this clip. But I know, like, the right field Ragers, I think that's what they call themselves. I mean, I feel like they're passionate. It looks pretty solid from what I can see here. But, I mean, in terms of getting more, you know, butts and seats, as we would say, I mean, do you think it's a sport problem or a team problem, Chase and Norris? What do you guys think? And then I guess the follow-up is, what do you think the baseball team could do to really help generate some more buzz, some more attention, some more interest to help get those seats filled?
I think it's a mixture of both, Christian. Covering baseball a little bit I've done this season, they've had some good turnouts, especially when the SEC play came along. I just feel like baseball, it's so long, you know, even when they sped up the pitch, they put in a pitching timer, still kind of feels long. You know, I'm able to watch it because I love it, you know, I love the small details of it, but for someone that's kind of used to fast pace, you know, a lot of scoring, a lot of stuff going on, that's just not their forte a little bit. And then you have the baseball team, you know, they didn't start so hot the first season.
It's just very long.
Yeah,
it's very long. Like, I didn't grow up with baseball. I never even watched baseball, but just I just feel like it's just very long, and also, no offense to me, it's kind of dull in my opinion.
So you think the sport is just a little, not the most entertaining thing for you to go watch?
I'm fast paced too. Like basketball, football. If it's fast paced, I'm gonna watch it. But at the same time, I'm just sitting there, I'm like kind of bored.
Well, I will say this: if you go to the games, I think you'll end up enjoying it more, and maybe you have been, but I'm just speaking in general. I think a lot of people there's a lot of people that share the same idea that you just mentioned there, Norris. Like the speed of it, it's just a little slow, a little dull. However, for me, I've always enjoyed going to the games. And growing up, I didn't play baseball. I wasn't a big like baseball fan growing up. However, in high school, I had a bunch of friends that played on the baseball team. And that's kind of what got me in the door to going and watching it. Because I used to just grab some seeds and I used to just go sit there and watch. And I was like, man, it's actually more entertaining than I thought. And then, you know, just a weekend where the weather's nice, going and sitting out there. The good news about baseball is you can kind of kick back, relax. You go with a group of people and you don't feel like you have to sit there and watch, you know, directly the whole time. Or you can kind of, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to miss a whole bunch, right? You just kind of just go for the environment, you know, kick back, relax, enjoy the weather. And it's kind of just one of those nice days, almost feel like you're at the park. I don't know. So I don't know. I was just curious about that. But anyway, I do know we need to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. Got a number of other things we'll talk about. Got to talk some softball, man. They're crushing it. One game away from the finals. I got a game tonight against Texas Tech, who I feel like Texas Tech has kind of been in the news a lot, where there's the whole stuff. You got Steve Sarkisian, him discussing their schedule and stuff like that. Then I don't know. It's like there's always something about Texas Tech, the Soresby situation. They just can't help themselves. They're always in the news. Anyway, we'll talk some softball when we come back. We got some Alabama football recruiting news and updates. I'm just going to preface by saying I'm not an expert with recruiting, but I do know that we definitely picked up a commitment. We'll talk about that, kind of talk about some of the other things that went on this weekend. I do have this on 3 accounts, so we got to use it, man. We'll read up on all of the, I guess, the latest articles and the latest on that. And, of course, we always are fielding questions, phone calls, other good stuff. 205-342-9904 is the number to the show. First time out of the day. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We're talking a lot about baseball, so let's put a bow on that. We only got a few minutes here anyway. We'll hear from Rob Vaughn and get his comments after beating Oklahoma State. And again, just want to remind you guys that Alabama will, in fact, be hosting their first Super Regional now since 2006. So hopefully we can get some more of those seats filled. I have some confidence, Chase. I feel like Super Regionals maybe bring out a little bit more. And to be fair, I forgot to mention this prior. Let's just be honest. Like the teams that were featured in the Regionals, we all know. Like Regionals, I mean, well, I think you also had USC Upstate just like you had in softball. I mean, some of those matches probably aren't going to draw a lot. But Super Regionals, with it being, you're further advanced, better teams, I would imagine I feel like those games are going to draw a bigger crowd, and hopefully that's the case. But let's put a bow on the whole baseball side of things. Let's go to Rob Vaughn and hear what he had to say after his team defeated Oklahoma State in extra innings, winning their regionals last night in a very exciting finals game and advancing to the Super Regionals.
Oh, my goodness, man. What a game. What a game. And I told the umpire in about the eighth or ninth inning, I was like, man, however this thing shakes out, this is what college baseball is all about. Man, that was two teams absolutely fighting, scratching, clawing, and emptying the tank for whatever they could. And, man, so proud of our guys. And kind of bookended by both sides, right? The young superstar gets a start for us. And,
trying to give me a heart attack by putting the guy on for free to start every inning, but doing typical Miles stuff and executing pitches and minimizing stuff, just an elite start from him. And then everybody came in and did their job to go to Ashton Crowther, and he looked a couple pitches up, but man, that team hits a billion homers. And man, just credit our guys. You have Eric Hines, huge, huge swing to tie that thing up off. Flood had electric stuff. And then the two seniors, man, like, can't tell you. I told Banksy about 500 times since he's been here how grateful I am for him.
Okay, listen, hold on now. We did have a quick ad, but listen, don't get mad at me this time, Chase. This is not from YouTube. This is from, I don't even know, I guess MSN, so I apologize. Hey, listen, Smitty can't say anything this time because this was MSN. This was not YouTube Premium. Here we go, we're back.
Man, when I came here, I remember talking to him on the phone for a long time, and man, that guy could have gone anywhere he wanted to go, and opted to stay here and trust our staff, and for him to be standing on that mound to finish that thing, man, you couldn't rip that up a better way. And then a guy like Brady, same thing, man, came to us 2 years ago and trusted us for another year. Like, could have signed, it could have moved on, and comes back and not only absolutely hosts the guy at second base there and extras, but gets the huge swing for us. So proud of our kids, man. We talk about toughness a lot in this program. And, man, you had toughness just oozing out of these guys today. Like, Johnny Lim's out there competing his tail off. Like, I didn't say this the other day, like, Johnny's playing with a broken finger right now. The ball broke his finger, and he's playing through that because it matters to him, and he wants to empty the tank for the guys. And we talk about Alabama all the time and how special the resource here. You just got to credit our training staff and Sean Stryker, Dr. Lobenthal, who was able to get that done, and Andrew Sports Medicine for coming through and helping keep our guys on the field and doing whatever they can to play. So grateful for this group. Really excited for Tuscaloosa. I kind of called the crowd out a little bit last night, and I tell you what, we might not have had the numbers at the beginning, but those guys were rocking. Like, that's what it's supposed to look like. And they were into it. They were fighting with us, and you could feel it. These guys could feel it. And now, fortunate enough to get to run this back one more weekend. As exciting as this is, like, the job's not done, and these guys know that. So it's time to turn our attention to whoever comes next. Have a great week of practice. We're going to be one of 16 teams still get to play baseball in the month of June. It's pretty dang exciting. Now it's time to go punch that ticket to Omaha next weekend.
So there you have it. That was head coach Rob Vaughn and his comments following the victory over Oklahoma State to advance to another Super Regionals, and the first one that they will host since 2006. All right, we're due for another timeout. When we come back, we'll dive into some softball talk. Of course, we got some Alabama football recruiting that we'll dive into. I know we got some folks lining up on the phone lines, so we'll get to you guys as well. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
AM radio in cars. Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text stop to stop. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We've been talking about some baseball. In fact, this show is flying by. It's already, 30 plus minutes into this show. We haven't even got to half the things we're going to talk about. All right, let's keep on rolling, Chase. You're our softball expert, so I hope you are ready to roll. Now, it sounds like you might be fighting something a little bit. Your immune system might be down, so give us what you got. But we got to talk a little bit of Alabama softball, who has been crushing it out in OKC. Going back a couple of weeks, remember, they fell short in the SEC tournament, but they had set their eyes out on, you know, all the postseason play they had ahead of themselves. So, man, have they been doing such a phenomenal job. Now I'm going to knock on this wooden desk right here because, listen, they've been crushing it. I know we got some big important games coming up. The soonest one coming tonight, you got Texas Tech versus Alabama. Hopefully they can punch their ticket to the finals. Would love that for Coach Murph and this softball team. But over the weekend, Chase, they've been doing some big time things. You want to give us, I guess, a quick little recap on kind of how we got to where we're at right now? I know Brisky's been crushing it. They had the big time win this weekend. Talk to us a little bit about the softball team and what they've done over the weekend, Chase.
Yeah, it was amazing. I know I've said that 3 weeks in a row, but I can't express it much more. You have top pitching. You have good hitting from every team. Just where it was, they beat UCLA, huge. They held a bunch of those players who've hit, almost 80% of them has hit 8+ home runs. So for Brisky to do that, it just speaks to the pitching. It speaks to the game plan. They got that going. And then they beat, I would say, one of the best pitchers ever, Jordy Fromm. She is a lights out pitcher. For the hitters to do that and be able to handle the way they did, it was remarkable, you know. And then honestly, I just feel like I'm gonna brag on Coach Murphy. In the beginning of the season, I think a lot of people wanted his job gone. I think a lot of people didn't feel like he was the man for the job, and a lot of people felt like he was just kind of behind because he's been in it for UA for a long time, Christian, which I didn't know that before I started covering them. So to get to see kind of this resurgence, you know, this fire that he has in his players, and it's kind of funny, the picture you have up right there on your stream, that's what Alabama softball is, literally. Every player has a fire in them. They're playing with confidence. They're playing with swagger. They're not afraid of the big moment. They're not afraid of being down. I think when they got punched in the mouth first against UCLA, They didn't waver. They didn't fall back. They adjusted, and hence why Alexis Papillo hit that shot and got Alabama back in the game. And then when they faced Nebraska, they weren't afraid of the pitcher's duel. You know, Jocelyn Brisky, who has been pitching for a while now in the College World Series, she came up clutch. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great matchup tonight, really. I think on the one side with Texas Tech, you know, they're the big bad team of the college softball series right now. They have a lot of confidence. They have NIL on every single base I could cover. You know, they have the players that can make it offense, infield, pitching. You know, they're, I would say, they're kind of a mirror match to Alabama. But because Alabama has had a time to kind of relax a little bit, game plan, and Texas Tech is on fumes, they had to beat UCLA last night, which was a stellar game, Christian. They had to beat them using both pitchers. And when you use both pitchers in situations like that, they get tired. And you have to, if I'm Alabama, you have to attack that quickly. Because the sooner you get them out of the game, the tired they get, and it, you can wait until Wednesday, who I think they face between Tennessee and Texas, which are favorable matchups. But if it gets to a game two, I'm a little bit nervous, because when you give a team like the underdog that kind of confidence, it's literally the fuel they needed before the game started. Like, for example, Christian, and I'm going to wrap a bow on it, when we had our regional, your neck of the woods, USC Upstate, they were down 2 games. And not only did they beat Southeastern, they beat Belmont, who were, I guess, were the second favorites of the regional. And they needed that fuel, and they got it now. They didn't win the regional, but teams like that, they love to be counted out. They love to hear the chatter, especially for Texas Tech, who are the quote-unquote, like, the team to root against. So if I'm Alabama, put them to sleep early. Use what's gotten you there. The only thing I would correct is the errors. There's been too many times where players are like literally colliding into each other when a fly ball is out, or if it's a punch out or a foul. Someone's colliding, and it gives the extra team another chance to get on board, and it's cost them. So if they can clean that up, I think they should be fine, honestly, Christian.
No, really, really good breakdown and analysis. And again, you guys see why we call Chase our softball expert at CB3864 on his X account. He keeps you guys up to date with what's going on. And speaking about what's going on in the Women's College World Series, like you mentioned, Chase, Tennessee is currently playing Texas. I believe it's the bottom of the second. Looks like it is still scoreless. And whoever wins that game is going to face the winner of Alabama and Texas Tech, which will be tonight at 6 p.m. Central Time. So we'll definitely be cheering for our girls, definitely be rooting for them. And you made a good point. I did watch that when I was watching that game this weekend. There were some of those errors. I think we were up a little, I guess we had a comfortable lead more or less. And that was one thing that I was thinking as well. It's like, man, that's the one thing you got to be careful about when your teams are playing really well is it's, I wouldn't necessarily say complacency, but it is a form of complacency where you kind of just start going through the motion. Like you can't pay attention to the scoreboard. You got to have that same intensity and relentlessness as you would as if you were down, right? 2, 3, 4 scores, right? You always want to keep your foot on the gas, which I'm sure they'll discuss that and be ready to roll. But you're right, man, Texas Tech. I mean, I don't keep up with them extensively in the softball side of things, but I do know I've heard a whole bunch about the money that not only they put in the football, but also in the softball. So we know it's definitely going to be a good matchup, but I'm looking forward to it. We'll definitely keep talking about it. Chase, so far through the tournament, man, who would you say is the MVP on this softball team for us currently?
I would have to go with Marley Giles, the catcher, the home kid. She has been nothing but a leader for Alabama. A press conference was held on Saturday. Coach Murphy was asked about Giles because she is the captain of the team. And to paraphrase, Coach Murphy just talked about being able to correct your friends and your coworkers because it's a hard thing to do. You know, you don't want to tell somebody, hey, you know, you got to clean this up, or hey, like, we don't do that, or hey, like, you know, this is not what we do here. And you're friends with them and you're roommates with them. You know, that's a hard thing to do. So for Giles to do that and also produce the way she's doing, I believe she's leading with home runs right now on the team. She's been the clutch player. Defensively, she's been doing well. She's been meshing well with Brisky, and I hopefully we see with Moten. I don't want Brisky to pitch all the way through the World Series, but her command, she's able to kind of calm down a lot of the players. I've noticed that when their players are riled up, Giles is the first one to get them to calm down and to talk to them, really kind of settle in and be like, hey, like, this is, we're here for a reason. And then also too, just with Giles, it's just the one thing that she struggled with her bad appearances. You know, you've got to get on, especially with the offense that we have this year, Christian. And Giles corrected that, and she's getting more on the ball. She's able to really kind of figure out these pitchers who are not easy at all. Like I just said, we faced Fromm recently, and then you back that up to UCLA. Her first name is Taylor. She pitched, which is crazy, by the way. She pitched, I think, like 180 plus against Texas Tech, which is a feat that I don't think anybody can do. So stuff like that, you have to kind of give credit to Marley Giles. And there's so many other MVPs on this team, but that's the player that sticks out to me.
Wow. Really good stuff. Well, I appreciate that, Chase. Speaking of softball, I know we got a big softball fan on the phone line. So let's go ahead and get his thoughts. 205-342-9904. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Chester, how are you today?
I'm great, Tommy. How are you, man? I feel like you're going to be in a good mood, man. Alabama softball is doing their thing, and I know you're a big softball fan. So talk to me, man.
Oh, they are in the groove. I mean, they focus. They seem like they lose. They got nothing to lose. I mean, beginning of this World Series, when they put that Arkansas script A my name, I said, they didn't respect us, didn't think we was going to be here long. I wanted the girls to eat it up and get out there, and they have. I mean, when they got behind, they didn't panic. They got leadership, like you say, from my catcher, Marty Giles, and number little 31, our little DH, pitching staff, and I mean, we even got leadership from the young. I mean, they understand what they want to accomplish. So, yeah, I'm happy. I mean, I wish UCLA and them played for another 27 innings last night, but they didn't. But somebody said, well, who do you want to play? I said, don't mind on me. You're going to beat your team and you're going to be out of the championship. You're going to beat my team. So I would like to play UCLA again because that young lady pitched every hit for them, say, like it. But I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound negative. UCLA do not respect Alabama in the softball world. The Pac-12 never did. I know there's no more Pac-12, but we got a second win from them. It would have gone far if we can play UCLA again and beat them. Because UCLA and Oregon will not come in Tuscaloosa and play a home-and-home series with Alabama. They don't have that kind of respect for Alabama. Oh, that been said million times, so. No,
I'm surprised, Tommy. I feel like we have a respectable program. I mean, I know definitely not some ups and downs, but yeah, I guess, I mean, maybe on their level, it's a little bit different, but, well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we proved them wrong, and I feel like we're continuing to prove people wrong, even including our own fans, like Chase mentioned. I mean, even not as long as just, I mean, earlier in the year, I don't know, definitely over the last couple of years, people were thinking it was time to go in a different direction, but thank God they didn't do that, because I feel like Coach Murphy has done a phenomenal job with this team this year, and there's just something special about them. I don't know what it is, man, but they just they keep proving people wrong. I think that's kind of been their MO this season.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been with the program since day one. He was assistant coach for 2 years. He's been the head coach for the last 28 years. And I've heard the talk, not even heard it in the fall, in fall brawl, when we invited Mississippi State over here, and the fair soft lady pitched a two-hitter and shut Alabama out 2-0. Why didn't we sign her? She was from the Tuscaloosa area. It's always negative. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to make people mad. And I don't care. 95% of people who do their moaning and groaning don't go to games, never been in those things, and they don't understand Patrick Murphy's philosophy. Everybody, I'm going to say something mad, you're going to get on to me. Everybody got a plan, a focus, how they want the team. It's not only Nick Saban. Coach Wright had it. Coach Stoller had it. All good coaches had it. And Murphy had the same thing with a plan. He got a plan. He got a vision. Just like all good coaches out there. So, the problem with Alabama baseball is we got too many good things going on. About 85% of people I know is out in Oklahoma City. And you watch TV. Oh, my Lord, the scenery is because Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's not out there. I mean, there's a lot of Alabama fans. And to excuse my idea, so, yeah, this is a bad time of year to have a sellout crowd in baseball. But so far, my excuse was, I got wore out last week, yeah.
Well, I feel like softball's been having, you know, pretty packed crowds even during this time of year. So, I mean, it's definitely possible. Yeah. Now, maybe that stadium's probably, you know, quite a bit smaller in terms of the
number of 4,000.
What would baseball be? How many does baseball have, do you know?
I think around 6-something. I'm just taking a guess.
Yeah.
And the
yeah,
baseball, I don't know.
You're right, though, by the time of year, then people wanting to watch softball, a lot of other things going on. I mean, that's fair. I always say this, you know, winning cures everything. I mean, once they start having more success, I think it'll drive more interest and people show up even more. But you got to think, too, with the regionals being the regionals and some of the teams playing in it, it's not going to draw probably the biggest crowd. Now, I do believe what the winner out of this, what, Florida State, St. John's, trying to determine who they'll see in the Supers. That could definitely help a little bit as well. So we'll have to see this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I hate it for baseball, but like last weekend, the rain delay whipped me. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be mean when I say this. Uh-huh. I got sick of the LSU fans. Most teams, I'm on the paint official. I had to send my ex-girl somewhere. There's only one young one, and my brother sent her. She was nicest to me, but the rest of them was awful. My brother, like, he got hit by a walking stick to leave the game by LSU grandmother. team is not happy that LSU lost. And I'm like, I look at him, I can't say what he's saying. He said, I'm getting too old for this crowd. And he didn't say crowd. He means the home stadium. The visiting team don't show you respect. Yeah, I just, I kind of been whooped last week. Yeah, I'm like, the roller coaster, the weather. Yeah. That's my sorry excuse for not doing the baseball, but
hey. Hey, fair enough. Hey, you got this stuff comes up, Tommy. No big deal. You ain't the only person, man. There's probably what thousands of others that could have been there. Hey, including myself. So I can't talk either. Hey, Tommy, always good to hear from you, man. I appreciate you calling and checking in with us.
All right, man. Y'all have a great week. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. You too. Yes, sir. Take care, Tommy. Roll Tide. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep rolling. We got some recruiting updates to talk about. Alabama picks up a recruit, a commit, I should say, this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, some drama up in New York, man. My dad's team. I don't know if you saw this, Chase. I know this was from like Friday, but like after the show. But I want to bring that up during the second hour because it was, I don't know, some interesting stuff. I want to get y'all's thoughts on it. You got a whole saga going on, which is very fitting, right? New York media, of course. What other place would have this type of drama going on? We'll do all that. Coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama baseball. We'll recap some Alabama softball. We'll do it with Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston and Josh from College Football Nerds. All on the Monday edition of The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to
4. A life of grit. This Father's Day, visit your local Boot Barn and find the gift worthy of their undertaking. Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
It's with Allstate. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A disturbance dropping down across the Tennessee Valley is going to bump up our shower and thunderstorm chances here this afternoon. Locally heavy downpours and some strong winds in some of those storms. 91, 71 tonight. Keep a storm chance going into the day tomorrow. High tomorrow, 85. Drier times ahead for midweek with sunshine. Wednesday's high, 81. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 91 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, it's about time for some football talk, even though we're pretty much done with hour number one. Hour number two, we'll definitely talk about some football. We got some recruiting news that we'll dive into. We got to hear, not directly from Brooks. Maybe we'll get him on later on in the week. But I know Brooks Austin, the film guy, is attending the Elite 11 finals, I should say, which features two Alabama quarterback commits, both Elijah Haven as well as Trent Seaborn. And so I saw that Brooks had posted a video basically breaking down what he's seen out of all the quarterbacks there so far. And so definitely want to listen to the clip where he's discussing both of Alabama's quarterback commits. We'll do that in hour number two. But I do want to mention Alabama did, in fact, land themselves a running back commit following a big recruiting weekend here. You know, official visits are underway. A lot of recruiting activity is going on. We've heard from head coach Kalen DeBoer talk about this signing class expected to be smaller, but they still will be going after some guys that they feel can, you know, address some needs, really help this football team out. We know running back is a position that they're still trying to figure out. There's still just a lot of question marks. You got a lot of names and faces in the room, but still trying to find out who's going to be the guys that really develop and emerge. Why not keep taking some swings in the meantime? This time comes from four-star running back commit out of Gainesville, which is, he's from the same high school that Xavier Griffin went to. Is that correct, Chase? Can you confirm that? Maybe not. Maybe you have to look that up. I want to say he went to the same high school as Xavier Griffin, as well as another guy on defense. I'm forgetting his name right now. But Nigel Newkirk has, in fact, committed to Alabama over LSU, Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. Again, out of Gainesville, Georgia, that is the same high school that Xavier Griffin went to. So they were teammates. But we'll talk about what this means. We'll talk a little bit about what we've seen out of him. Again, we're only going off like high school highlights, so it's really hard to give a true analysis and breakdown on these players without really watching full games. But we'll talk about what we like about him, what we think he can bring to this football team and more. But Alabama's recruiting will start picking up some more. We know summer is like the new, I guess, time where these guys really make these decisions. December is pretty much the new signing day. You still got February, but it's hardly ever used at this point. So we'll definitely keep up to date with what's going on and try to get some folks on here to discuss some of the latest recruiting news. But first, we're going to hit this timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We'll dive deeper into this. We'll hear about the quarterback commits and their performances out at the Elite 11 finals, as well as some drama going on up in New York in my dad's old stomping grounds with that whole football team. All that coming up and more right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
A NASCAR win for Denny Hamlin Sunday night. Christopher Bell finished second. The race in Nashville ended at about 11:30 p.m. Central Time. Alex Palou took IndyCar's Detroit Grand Prix. Number 3 seed Iga Swiatek was upset at the French Open in the fourth round. U.S. men's soccer won its exhibition 3-2 over Senegal in Charlotte. One more tune-up before the World Cup. That'll be Saturday's USA versus Germany matchup in sold-out Chicago's Soldier Field. To baseball, Cardinals beat the Chicago Cubs 5-1. In fact, Cards led 5-0 in the third inning. Washington over the Padres 4-2. Dodgers ripped Philadelphia 9-1. The Giants were 19-6 winners at Colorado. The Yankees scored 13 times in the top of the third and won 13-8 at the A's. Seattle won its sixth straight game, a 10-inning win against Arizona 3-2. And Jacob Mizorowski and the Brewers won 2-0 at the Houston Astros.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama baseball. We'll recap some Alabama softball. We'll do it with Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston and Josh from College Football Nerds. All on the Monday edition of The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners.
And that down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Let's talk a little bit of football and some recruiting news. We just talked a little bit about it before we hit that top of the hour break. Chase Norris, Alabama, in fact, lands yet another commit, this time coming from four-star running back Nigel Newkirk. Again, we mentioned the schools that he ended up choosing Alabama over, some big-time programs. And I'll say this, man, he looks to be a good prospect, right? Again, only going off of highlights. Again, I have a hard time really trying to break down these guys. I'm going to throw his highlights on the screen. But it's hard for me without really being able to give a full picture, because highlights is everybody's best plays possible, right? I mean, you're not going to see anything wrong in their game. It's going to be, the best of the best. But you can at least get an idea for who these guys are as a player. I'm going to throw these highlights on the screen for you guys that haven't necessarily seen them. I'm going to put his huddle up here. Of course, there's an ad on Huddle. There's ads everywhere. We're infiltrated by ads. But He's listed at around 200 pounds right now. Not the the biggest right now, but I can see him growing into his frame. You think he's listed at 5'11", 195, or 200. I can see him putting on a little bit more weight, but seems to have good speed. I wouldn't say he's like a burner, like elite speed, but I would say very solid speed, one of those one-cut runners. I think he looks to be a good fit for some of the, you know, the way we like to run the football in Coach DeBoer's scheme, more of that zone scheme. I think he'll be a good fit for that. So I like the pickup. And there we go. I made that full screen there. You can see him. You know, he's got familiarity with a couple of the guys on the team now. So it's kind of nice that he kind of falls right into place following some of his former high school teammates. Nice catch out of the backfield. They sent him on a wheel route. So, again, we're just going off that clip. Maybe we could go ahead and say that he looks to have, you know, good hands, can catch the football out of the backfield. That seems to be pretty important, especially in this offense. Return ability. Right, third play on his highlight tape, taking one to the crib just about here. Or yes, he actually almost does, right? Gets inside the 20 right there on the 14. That being said, I feel like he's versatile, Chase. I've seen some clips that he looks, you know, physical, put his shoulder down, run through contact, has good balance and body control, right? Running through arm tackles. So I like the pickup. Now, in terms of what this means for this running back room, I will say you got a lot of bodies in the running back room right now, right? I mean, if you think about it, Chase. As a matter of fact, I think even Daniel Hill, who I would say I think is the oldest back in that room, if not, I guess the transfer from, was it Tennessee? Maybe he technically is, but outside of him, all those guys still have eligibility, right? So I know a lot of people have been asking the question, you know, how does that affect this running back room if you have so many players? Not to some of the older guys, we're talking about Daniel Hill or even Kevin Riley, but if you think about it, you brought in the two freshmen and E.J. Crowell, the other young man, Brown, right, that everybody's really excited about. I think a guy that's definitely, you know, turned some heads this spring. Not many people were expecting that. So you got a little bit of a 1-2 punch combo out of the true freshmen right now that you just brought in. You still got A.K. Deer, who we haven't necessarily had a chance to see him other than a few small moments from last season, which we definitely expect his role to expand. So what I would say is this, Chase, you can't stop recruiting guys based off of your current situation. You have to understand, especially in the era that we're in, you know, I wouldn't call it a revolving door, but you always expect guys to be on the move, not only just from maybe their side of things, but also the fact that, let's just call a spade a spade. This is a production-based business. We've heard Courtney Morgan talk about that, where there's HaHa Clinton Dix, who's over there with, you know, player development. At the end of the day, you know, we have a lot of running backs in the running back room right now with good potential. Really nice catch by him. I think that was him that just made that play. So he's got really good hands. You got to remember this, though. Potential is great, but at the end of the day, you need production. And until any of these guys really emerge, even a guy like A.K. Deer, right? You just never really know. I mean, they might almost be at the point where if these guys don't produce, they could potentially be pushed out the door a little bit. Now, I'm not saying specifically, I'm not saying certain names or guys. You get the point, right? I mean, there's only so many carries to go around. And at the end of the day, if you're not getting production, last year you did not get nearly enough production out of the running back room. I know the offensive line was not where it needed to be. I'll be the first one to tell you that. Again, we watch tape, we break down. I mean, this show is led by former players. I understand that, right? A lot of it was on, you know, other things than just the running back room. But at the end of the day, they also fell short, right? So in my opinion, you know, you got to keep swinging, right? You got to keep swinging until you hit. Now, the good news is the two young, you know, true freshmen that you just brought in have shown a lot of promise. E.J. Crowell, a lot of that promise is more so still coming from, you know, what he's done in high school. But even the limited amount of reps that he did see in the spring, he impressed people, right? There's a lot of high expectations for a guy like him. I don't know as much as, like, you know, this year, I don't know what the workload will be like for either of those two guys, those true freshman running backs. But you just have to expect, even in 2027, I mean, those guys have a lot of potential written on them, and they're young. I could totally see a world where, you know, some of these older guys end up transferring out and you're going to need to replace bodies, right? Whether it's for depth purposes or even just guys that you're hoping to come in and compete early on. That said, I like the pickup. Again, just looking at his highlights, like we don't have full games to break down, but he's a hard runner, good speed, has return ability, right? Can catch the football out of the backfield. He feels like he's very versatile. A guy that I think just looks like he fits well with kind of, you know, what we're going to do. Remember, his inside zone, mid, outside zone, stretch, things like that. Basically one and the same. I like him. I think he's a good football player and a nice addition. And I don't think they're done at the running back position either, because he was the first running back commit for this class. But I don't even know if he's going to be the last, because last time I saw, we're still trending for a guy that's actually from my neck of the woods in Columbia, South Carolina. I believe he's from Irmo High School, about 20 minutes down the road from my high school in Spring Valley High School. So looks like Alabama's not done at the running back position. Again, I know some people might be wondering why when you got so many bodies already, but without proven results, you got to keep on swinging. And I'm always for more competition, because we all know competition really brings out the best in everyone. So really nice pickup. You can pair him up with the two quarterbacks that we'll talk about here in a second that have shown some promise. We'll get the latest from them. But first, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll listen to that clip again. Brooks Austin, the film guy, he's out there at the Elite 11 Finals. He's discussing, you know, all the quarterbacks, but he mentioned both Trent Seaborn and Elijah Haven and what they were able to do out there so far from what he's seen. So we'll listen to that. We'll keep talking some more football. Plus, we'll get into this drama going on up north in New York, my dad's old neck of the woods, right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Services for our complete range of duct services, 205-339-6540 or at adamsvcs.com. Adams Services.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Get it done by the professionals at 80 Teeth Precision Armory. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, behind Big John's Barbecue in Moundville. They do the weird stuff.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are 29. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A disturbance dropping down across the Tennessee Valley is going to bump up our shower and thunderstorm chances here this afternoon. Locally, heavy downpours and some strong winds in some of those storms. 91, 71 tonight. We keep a storm chance going into the day tomorrow. High tomorrow, 85. Drier times ahead for midweek with sunshine. Wednesday's high, 81. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 91 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we've started talking some recruiting. We just mentioned Nigel Newkirk, the latest Alabama pickup, four-star running back out of Gainesville, Georgia. We threw his highlights on the tape. Looks like a really solid pickup there in the, to go in that running back room. Definitely, again, a lot of bodies in there. There's going to be a lot of competition, but you got to expect there's probably going to be some names or some guys on their way out, bringing in some more young talent. They, again, way too early to say they hit on the two running backs that are true freshmen right now, but I think we can at least say that they've shown a lot of promise. So hopefully they can continue that trend. I see Smitty had recommended this defensive lineman that is also predicted to Alabama from Mississippi, Mitchell Turner. This is my first time watching. We pulled him up on the stream here. I like what I've seen so far. Again, these are just highlights. But it looks like, I didn't know his size. You guys said he's probably, 290-ish? Looks like he plays D-tackle, about 6'2 or so. So he don't have the most length. I was about to say, he didn't look very big on tape. But that's besides the point, because what stands out to me is this guy's got a lot of twitch to him, right? He's got some juice getting after the quarterback. Seems like he has some good hand activity. You know, he's got a nice motor, physical finish on the quarterback. I mean, I like what I've seen so far. I haven't seen a whole bunch of clips of him playing the run and things like that. But in terms of his pass rush ability, I definitely like the first few clips. Speaking of defensive linemen and getting after the quarterback, we got some breaking news right now that both Chase and it looks like I think Wyatt's here in the chat just share with us. Miles Garrett, man, has just been traded. And that's definitely some big-time breaking news because Miles Garrett is, I mean, we're talking about he's got the record for most sacks in an NFL season. He's been with Cleveland his entire career. Well, we just had a blockbuster trade, and it was just broken by Adam Schefter. It says 10 seconds ago. I guess Wyatt and Chase beat Adam Schefter, which is kind of crazy. Miles Garrett has been traded to the Los Angeles Rams, where he'll be teammates with Ty Simpson, for, what's his name? Is it Jared Verse? Former Florida
State. Yes, it was.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Jared Verse, man. Adam Schefter. I know these are two big name guys in the league, but maybe add their freaking name to the graphic or the tweet instead of the trade of the offseason. Jared Verse. So the young up and comer, I say up and comer. I mean, dude's been very productive his first few years in the league, but you get the point. I mean, he's a young player. Miles Garrett is what, going on year 8, 9, something like that? So that's kind of crazy, man. I'm not going to lie to you. My initial thoughts, I mean, Cleveland's going with somebody that's young, that's shown a lot of promise. Matter of fact, let me throw up Jared Verse's stats. I'd assume, I want to say he might have been a Pro Bowler last year, maybe even the year before. So he's been very productive, but Miles Garrett production, I don't think he's come close to that. Last year, he had 7.5 sacks. Let's see about the year before that. I'm on ESPN trying to see. Matter of fact, in his young career, because I think he was drafted in 2024. So rookie year, he had 4.5 sacks. Last year, he had 7.5, so a total of 12 sacks. Miles Garrett, I think last year alone, had, 23 or whatever the record was. But Cleveland's clearly trying to get younger, right? So you trade a guy that's proven, a guy that's without a doubt a gold jacket guy and a Hall of Famer in Miles Garrett for a young edge rusher who, I mean, I think Jared Verse is a really good football player. I'll tell you this, man. He's a physical guy. He'll run right through your face. He's tough to handle. I mean, I've seen a lot of offensive tackles even talk about him. Like, I mean, he gives you problems, right? He can bend the edge and really kind of, and he's not working anything crazy. It's more so he's just a physical guy that runs with a lot of force where it's hard to slow him down once he gets going, but he'll also just run through your face. Kind of like Will Anderson in terms of the way they rush, but not as productive as Will Anderson either. Who do we think won this trade, guys? I mean, is there more to it? Is it just a player-for-player trade? I'm trying to find more details here since Adam Schefter was just trying to get cute in his posted graphic. If it's just a player-for-player trade, Chase, Norris, who do we feel like won this trade? Initially, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like L.A. I feel like L.A. without a doubt wins this trade. I mean, L.A. is a team that we just were talking about. I mean, they're on the cusp of playing for a Super Bowl. I mean, that's the big reason why people were kind of shocked or really questioning why they decided to draft Ty Simpson. I mean, you got Matthew Stafford. They just extended him. I think he's locked up for another 2 years, coming off the heels of an MVP season. I mean, this guy's playing some damn good football. Granted, he's, you know, a little bit older. But, I mean, they have a roster that's built to go win right now. And now they just added Myles freaking Garrett. I mean, I understand you're preparing for the future. I think money just came in the chat and said that. I mean, it's present for the future. I get that. And I think Jared Verse has a bright future. Again, I think he was listed as a Pro Bowler just last season. And a young guy. He's only going on year three. But let's not act like Myles Garrett is old. Okay? Like, Myles Garrett is, I want to say Myles Garrett is around my age. I want to say he might be maybe a year older than me. I think we were in the same class coming out of high school. And I'm turning 30 this month, right? So, yeah, Myles Garrett is 30. We're the same age. We're the same class. And we're talking about he's an edge rusher. Myles Garrett can play another, I would say in his prime, like his athletic prime, as an edge rusher, right? I know edge rushers, we see, I mean, 38, 39, but you start slowing down, at least in my opinion. I start seeing, like, I played with Bruce Irvin when he was probably 33, 34. Bruce wasn't the same Bruce that he was at 25. You know what I'm saying? But Myles Garrett is also different. Myles Garrett is like a generational talent, a freak athlete. I mean, probably one of the best athletes that I've ever seen. I would say Myles Garrett has at least four more years of like his true prime, like playing the way he's playing right now. At least, I think he cranks out another 7 to 10 years in the league, no problem at all. Just so the athlete he is, as talented as he is in the position. But I'm saying I think he has a legit four more years at least of being as dominant as he is right now. With that said, man, I think L.A. clearly won this trade because they're getting a guy who's in his prime. Myles is 30 years old right now, coming off a record-breaking season, breaking the all-time single season sack record that was held. It was about Michael Strahan, right? I think him and T.J. Watt were tied or whatever. Well, the Rams just got him, and they already had a team that was built to go play for a Super Bowl. Granted, Jared Verse was a part of that defense, right? I mean, he's a good player for him. But now you're replacing him with a guy like Myles Garrett, who's only 30 years old? Man. Yeah, I'm going to say the Rams definitely won this trade. Chase, what do you think, man? Myles Garrett for Jared Verse. It looks like maybe some more draft compensation that's going to be negotiated. But normally when they have that type of language, it's nothing crazy. Who won this trade, Chase?
L.A. Rams. It's not even close. If I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, Christian, I'm pulling out all of my hair. Why do you trade a generational talent like that? And you're right, 30 is young. And the production he's putting up with what Cleveland has to offer, I don't understand. What do you get? Now, nothing against Verse, because he was very much instrumental in Los Angeles' defense past couple of seasons. He's very smart, very intelligent. He's very quick with his hands. But I just don't see what Cleveland sees in him to trade one of your generational talent, because they don't come every year. Like, they struck gold when they drafted Garrett out of A&M. But if I'm L.A., man, I'm moving some dust around for another ring to come to L.A. because you have a quarterback like Matthew Stafford who is still, I would say, slinging the rock. He's still doing it. I haven't really seen a lot of drop-off from his game. You know,
won the MVP last year.
There you go.
I mean, you're right, though. He's older, but, like, he won the MVP last year, Chase. So they are now pairing up with the, I guess, defending MVP, or I don't even know what to call it defending, but, you know, the reigning MVP from the league last year, a 30-year-old Myles Garrett, who was also the AP Defensive Player of the Year last year after setting the single-season sack record at 23. I mean, I don't even think this is a discussion. I mean, the Rams are probably, now granted, I know people still were wondering in terms of the wide receivers, but you got Devontae Adams, a little bit older. Puka Nacua, who's, I mean, one of the league's best when he's not being a knucklehead, right? I mean, yeah, man, I'll be honest with you. I mean, shoot. Like Chelsea said in the chat, I mean, 30 is not old, right? I mean, I always joke around, talk about being old. I'm turning 30, but like 30 years old for Myles Garrett as an edge rusher is not old. If he was 34 or 35, I could understand this being a little bit more of a, okay, I could understand the fairness and the, I don't know, like, you're telling me that's all they could have got? Now, granted, there is going to be some draft compensation discussed or negotiated. But Chase, if it is not significant, I feel like they just, like, that was probably one of the most bonehead, you're telling me they could, nobody else would have offered crazy, you know, compensation for a guy like Myles Garrett? Like, what are we doing here, man? The Browns, you're right. Now, I'm, you know, I love my hair, but I might even be tempted to pull it out if I was a Browns fan, if I got rid of if I got rid of a guy like Myles Garrett at 30 years old, man, which I think he did request a trade.
I believe so, he did, yeah.
Yeah, at least last year. I know this has kind of been in, because, listen, he wants to win, which is completely understandable. He's been with Cleveland his entire career, and the guy wants to win, man. And no offense to Cleveland, but I mean, the dude is probably given everything he's got there. Hell, he just set the single season sack record with them last season, and he stuck it out for a while. I know he's talked about maybe wanting to explore for quite some time. And again, you can't blame him when you're with Cleveland from 2017 to 2025, right? I mean, that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seasons. I forgot. Yeah, he came out early. And we're talking about a guy for his career, Chase, 125 and a half sacks through his first 9 seasons in the league. Granted, he's got some wear and tear on the tires, but I think somebody like Terrell, I think Terrell mentioned, I mean, to my knowledge, I don't think he's really been like really injured. I know he played in 11 games his rookie year, 10 games in 2019. Probably, I think, missed a little bit. Nah, 2020 played 14, but since, I mean, last 5 or 6 seasons, I mean, I think he's played pretty much every game. I mean, that, like, normally with something like this, you're like, okay, well, a guy like Myles Garrett, he's hurt, or he's, you know, he's coming off of this, or, dude, this dude is in his prime. I know 9 years, he's played a lot of time because he got in the league early, but, man, I guess if you are Cleveland, you just got to say thank you to the guy. I mean, because he's been there for nearly a decade. He's given you what he's got. The guy wants a chance to win, and I can't blame him. I mean, I listen, like, as a former player myself, I mean, all the individual stats are great, and it's exciting, and you definitely feel yourself when you're playing well. But I can just tell you, there's nothing like winning. Granted, you know, I did at the college level, but still, man, like, I always tell my dad that, like, there's a big trade-off, right? I mean, I would never trade winning national championships for, you know, I had 8.5, 9 sacks my senior year, which is great, right? But we didn't win a national championship that year. If I could say, oh, man, I'd, you know, 4, 5 sack season, but win a national championship, I'd probably trade that any day of the week, twice on Sunday. Just not a feeling like it, man, having a ring and having that title to you. So he's got his opportunity. Let's hope that the Rams can capitalize on it, which, I mean, looks like they're ready to do so. Jalen Milroe won himself a Super Bowl last season as a backup, as a reserve guy, which still counts. He very much earned that Super Bowl just like everybody else on that football team. He contributed in his own ways. And a lot of people want to talk smack or whatever. Reason I bring that up is, looks like we might have back-to-back years, Chase, with former Alabama quarterbacks earning themselves a Super Bowl ring while they're in their developmental years. We saw Jalen Milroe have that last year. If Ty Simpson... If the Rams win a Super Bowl this year, I promise to God, I think Ty Simpson literally probably had the best luck, the best hit the lottery, whatever you want to call it, in terms of when he was drafted, where he was drafted, the team, and then even just winning himself a Super Bowl ring. I mean, like, we talk about how perfect of a scenario has been for Ty Simpson. He just got himself Myles Garrett added to his football team, and that was already really good. If he goes on and win a Super Bowl ring, I don't think it could get any better for any football player.
I know Ty is. I know Ty is happy not to be at Tennessee right now. So I'll say that.
Or the Jets. Remember that everybody was worried about the Jets. I mean, if he caps it off with a Super Bowl ring, I promise to God, I don't think I've ever seen somebody get more, I'll use the word blessed, more blessed in my life as a football player in terms of like their football career, at least the start to it. And I think that's a very real possibility with the moves that have just been made. Again, breaking news, Myles Garrett officially has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. I guess barring any big changes, remember, you had the trade between Baltimore and the Las Vegas Raiders for Max Crosby, another edge rusher. That deal was, I guess, done, but then it fell through due to some, I guess, some injury stuff. Myles Garrett is pretty healthy. I don't recall Jerry Verse having anything going on. So I guess that barring any big changes, the deal has been done. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we got plenty more to talk about, but definitely had to throw that in there, man. That is big time news, man. The Rams just got richer. The rich get richer. That's how it works, I guess. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Great atmosphere, outstanding customer service. Where they do that at? Bama Entertainment, where the odds are always in your favor. Take exit 45 off 2059, sponsored by Red.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide!
Edge Monday Madness edition, and this is why, right? Breaking news, big trade. Myles Garrett has been traded to Los Angeles Rams in exchange for a young Jared Verse, so basically a swap of edge rushers, a guy in his prime who's coming off of a single season sack record type of year, 23 sacks, and Jared Verse, a very let's be clear, I don't want to downplay Jared Verse, is a really good football player, like really good. I want to say he was named to the Pro Bowl in his second year, which was last year. But nonetheless, I mean, it's still kind of a crazy trade when you look at the two, given that Miles is only 30 years old. So that's that. I know we're talking about the Rams, and we're about to dive back into this whole quarterback deal with Ty being selected by the Rams. We can talk about that here in a second. But I do want to bring this up because I mentioned it early on in the show. I wanted to dive into it. Speaking of quarterbacks, Chase, this had come up what was that? I guess last week, maybe Friday. And it really came up before that. But if you guys haven't seen, sticking with the NFL side of things, Jackson Dart, former Ole Miss quarterback, current New York Giants quarterback, he had recently, and I can't remember exactly what it was. I'm trying to look for. Here it is. I think it was on like the 22nd, but there was a rally, right, with President Trump in New York, and Jackson Dart was the one to introduce President Trump. He was invited to do so, went out there, he accepted it, introduced him, and it ended up making news, but for the wrong reasons, because it was one of his teammates that ended up calling him out. And not just his teammate, his draft mate, guy that they were drafted together as first rounders, number one picks, Abdul Carter, former Penn State linebacker defense event, who now currently is, you know, his teammate with the Giants. Well, he had gone to Twitter after that. I guess clip had surfaced of his teammate introducing President Trump, and I guess he wasn't too happy with it. He basically, just to kind of quote it, because I don't remember exactly the tweet, but it was basically like, really? I thought this was AI. Like, he basically was just kind of like, what are we doing here? So he wasn't too happy with it. Well, Chase, this whole saga, it didn't just stop there, right? Because that tweet blew up all over social media from, you know, Abdul Carter pretty much calling out his quarterback. It says, thought this blank was AI. What are we doing, man? So that was his tweet. Well, both these guys then had, you know, addressed the media, and it's turned into like this whole saga thing. And basically, Jackson Dart, he came out to the podium. He had a very, you know, respectful response and wanted to address the media and just talked about, you know, his respect for the office. He's had, you know, has family in the armed forces and whatnot. And it just got me thinking, I'm like, man, it's kind of crazy that like the guy's having to go out there and do a whole public apology over this. Because these are just my thoughts, right? I'm not trying to dive into the whole politic thing, but this is my thing. It's totally okay, number one, if he wanted to introduce the president. I gave the story about, you know, when we won a national championship, we got invited to the White House. Of course, some people are going to want to do it. Other people aren't going to want to do it, right? That's everybody's right. But at the end of the day, as a football team, I think it's just really important to remember, you know, football is not just football, really all sports, but especially football, I feel like it's like a melting pot, right? You got people from all different backgrounds, races, religion, and at the end of the day, everybody comes together for one common goal. And the locker room is supposed to be a sacred place. And the reason I bring locker room up is I feel like it should have been handled behind closed doors, should have been handled in the locker room, right? I mean, if Abdul Carter had a problem with his quarterback introducing the president, which, again, we're not even going to get into all of that. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I think it's ridiculous that it turns into all this. But that should have been addressed behind closed doors. But then these guys are going out to the media, Chase, and then they're, you know, I guess, you know, supposed to be addressing it and kind of, I guess, deading it, right? Just getting past it, moving on. And Abdul Carter, I mean, he's still like standing firm on it. Like, well, if I see him doing something that I don't believe in, it's my job to basically, I guess, stand on that and be firm and hold him. To me, I'm just like, it felt like a circus going on. And it's to the point where I'm like, Why is this even a thing right now? So I'm curious, Chase, I don't know if you got to see this or hear this. I mean, I could play some of this. Matter of fact, I'll play a little bit. This is the initial part of Jackson Dart's press conference.
All being here, I understand that there's probably going to be questions that involve off the field topics. And for that, I have a statement, and I hope I can answer as many of those questions that y'all may have. you know, being asked and given the opportunity to introduce the President of the United States, you know, my thinking was pretty simple. In the fact of, you know, I've always loved this country. I have extended family members who have fought in wars. I have two uncles who have retired from the Air Force Academy and served themselves. I even have a great grandfather who served as Secretary of Treasury at some point. So there's a lot that comes with that. And it's been something that I've embraced. I've loved being here. I've loved the city of New York. I love the city of New Jersey, the people that I've met here. It's just been a really amazing experience. And there's not another place that I'd rather be. Teammates on this team regardless of politics, regardless of religious beliefs, regardless of anything that may be different between us. Like, I love them, and they know exactly what kind of person that I am, who comes into the facility every day, and who lays, I lay my body on the line for my guys each and every week.
All right, so that was me kind of just skipping through some of his response. It was almost 5 minutes, and I don't want to play it too long. We don't have a whole bunch of time. Very respectful response, right, addressing the media, explaining himself, which I'll be honest with you, I don't even think he really needs to be explaining himself. Like, he can support what he supports. I mean, that's his right. If he wants to introduce a president, have at it. Now, I understand also, I mean, as you are the quarterback of the New York football Giants, right, you understand that some decisions that you make are definitely going to reflect on the team. We all know is going to say, New York Giants quarterback Jackson Dart did X, Y, Z. But, I mean, the guy introduced the president, right? And I get it. He can be divisive. I get it that some of the stuff he says is distasteful. Some of the actions, I understand all that. Trust me, I'm not downplaying that. But I feel kind of bad for the guy, Chase. I mean, he's literally just – he's like apologizing just for going to introducing the president, which, if you, again, I understand that could bother some people. That's fine. That's their right, too. But keep it in-house, man. Because of one guy's – I mean, I guess he decided to do that, which that's his right. His teammate ends up deciding to go tweet and make it a big deal. And now they're sitting here on this podium. But, again, fast forward to this, I respect him. I mean, I thought he handled it very well. I mean, he's clearly talking about the love he has for his teammates. Wasn't him trying to step on anybody's toes. He just had an opportunity. He took it. And that was his response. Now listen to his teammate's response. This was his teammate's response, right? Now, who had the whole tweet about him going to the rally. This was Abdul Carter's time at the press conference.
So first off, I'm going to say that some things are bigger than football, and this is one of those things. Jackson is one of our leaders. He's the face of our franchise. He not only represents himself and what he does, but he represents all of us. And that goes for anybody who wears a Giants uniform. But if he chooses to align himself with a man like President Trump, it's my responsibility, based on what I believe and what I stand on, to not only show my teammates that I'm against that, but to show the world. And that doesn't mean that we have to spread hate. It doesn't mean that me and Jackson hate each other or we have beef. I sit next to Jackson every day, every team meeting, we close, we talk. You know, as long as we make sure we got the same goal as a team and our goals align, which they do, and I feel like that's all that matters. So I just want to move past this and yeah, that's it.
My biggest thing is, man, just really, as somebody who's been in that locker room, man, we talk about anything and everything in the locker room. Man, handle that in the locker room. Why are you going on exit? Like, I told you guys during the break here on the stream, like, when we had the decision to go to the White House after we won in 2017, right? We had conversations, right? There was people that, opposed going, but ultimately we decided as a team that we were going to go. That's how it should be handled. It's just weird to me seeing, like, I mean, this is like a team in the National Football League, right? They're full of professionals, and it's like we're like, I'm like, I'm watching like a reality TV show going on. All right? And it's over one guy deciding to introduce the president, which I get it. I know some people have their opinions. It's fine. But I don't know, Chase. I mean, I know you're a good guy. These topics might, you get a little worried maybe. If you don't want to comment, you don't have to. But any thoughts?
I can comment on it. Man, it's a reflection on everybody. I'll be honest with you. I think it's a reflection on the players, the organization. It's just there's a miscommunication on what was okay to be represented. Because if you look at both responses, even though, they have to give the PR, like, everything's fine type of speech, obviously behind closed doors, I feel like this is not a good start for the Giants. They're not even on the field yet, and they have off-season issues. And this is overshadowing... I think someone mentioned it, and Norris is with me, that Odell got signed. But because what Jackson Dart, and he has to think bigger of himself, because not everybody is going to agree with him, and everybody's going to be in favor of him talking to President Trump or introducing him in the way that he did, a la what we're watching right now. But You know, I feel like this is a teachable moment for Jackson, because I don't think this is going to end him, because he has so much talent and the Giants see that in him. But he has to be a leader and be like, look, you know what? I have to kind of think bigger than myself and talk to all the leadership guys that have been here for years and years and be like, how would you handle this? How would you go about this, about, you know, putting my political views out there? So not that I can make everybody happy, but I can create less damage than what we're seeing right now.
No, I think you said it best. And at the end of the day, man, it's just about showing respect for one another. I just wish we could get back to that, where you can have opposing views, right? And understand that people aren't going to think exactly how you think, but just learn to respect them. You don't have to agree with them, but you can respect them. And ultimately, I think a lot of people have been saying, you just go address that with the other guy himself, right? And do it behind closed doors. Because now, like you guys have just said, it's taking so much attention from... I'm not keeping up with the Giants for what they're doing in terms of this offseason, in terms of what's going on ahead of the season, for what they're planning on doing, more so than I am really just this whole saga that feels like a reality TV show. I feel like I'm watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians or something right now. But it is New York media, so I guess you kind of expect that. We got to hit one last timeout. We'll come back for a brief moment and wrap things up on this Monday Madness edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be back briefly to wrap things up.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama baseball. We'll recap some Alabama softball. We'll do it with Drew DeGarman. We'll talk to Martin Houston and Josh from College Football Nerds. All on the Monday edition of The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from...
Get your life back, baby. Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
what's possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Goodbye. We got to wrap things up real quick. Before we do that, I got to tell you about our friends over at Lamprello Law. If you haven't checked them out already, make sure you guys do that. Lamprello-law.com. You can get all that information, schedule yourself a consultation with Adam for all those legal representation needs. But not only that, those services that they offer for high school, college, graduate students as well at an affordable rate. They will beat out the competitors. And that's the most important thing outside of that genuine care and passion that they'll represent you with and take care of you, whether that's academic and career planning, test taking preparation, of course, all of the legal representation that they offer right there at Lamprello Law, the official representation of the Miller's Edge. We got to get out of here. Big thanks to everybody for making it happen today. We'll be back again tomorrow for a Talking Tuesday edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll see you guys then.